chapter 2, verse 15. Paul writes, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." This is God's word to us today. So far in the series, if you're paying attention, it's kind of been like steps, okay? Like steps to being a Christian, and that starts with God, right? God being blessed in himself, free and full and happy. Second, we need faith to believe in that blessed God. And then last week, if you were here, we have to repent of our sins. There's no coming into the kingdom of God without repentance. Jesus tells us, if you do not repent, you will perish. Like, just really makes it easy for us. Praise God for Jesus. Okay, making it easy. And so those look like, and maybe they're not. It's kind of different depending on where you're reading. Those look like distinct, separate moments. This happens, this happens, this happens. What we're going to be doing for the next 4 weeks in the series is kind of four different things, but they happen all at once, okay? You can't like separate and parse out, this one happens first, this one happens first, this one happens next. And so they are justification by faith, which is today, adoption into God's family, union with Christ, and then the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So these kind of all happen at once. We're going to break them into four today, with starting first with justification, some of the sweetest truth ever written down anywhere, and here in Galatians 2. So in Galatians 2, Paul is giving us what Martin Luther called the chief article of Christian doctrine, what John Calvin called the main hinge on which religion turns, what John Wesley called the whole compass of Christianity, and what J.I. Packer called the storm center of the Reformation, and Josh just calls it awesome. Okay, justification by faith is awesome. And so this doctrine, this truth matters if you are a human being. So who is a human being? This is how we distinguish the aliens out of the room. Okay, so Gloria. Gloria is a human. Honestly, I could have told you that. Everyone else in this church is weird. You are one of the few normal ones. So thank you. Thank you, Gloria. Okay. So this matters if you are a human being, because all human beings have the exact same problem, okay? And that problem is our sin makes us guilty before God, okay? That is true of every single person. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned," all there means all, "and have fallen short of the glory of God." So all are guilty, all have sinned, but different groups handle their guilt and their sin and the misery that comes with the guilt and the sin in different ways. Okay, so just to break it into two groups today, we have unrighteous people and self-righteous people, and they're going to handle this guilt and misery in different ways. So notice I didn't say Christians, okay? We have a different solution to our sin and guilt and misery problem than these two groups, and so we'll deal with the solution that Christians have at the end. But so these two groups, unrighteous and self-righteous, they're pining for an answer to this question: what do I need to do to measure up? Okay, they're asking, maybe not wording it this way, what do I need to do to be justified? What do I need to do to be made right? And so for the unrighteous person, the person not interested in God or spirituality or anything like that, for the unrighteous person, it's self-improvement. Okay, this is my justification. The unrighteous person has created his own law, his own standard, his own goalposts for measuring up, and deeply believes, the unrighteous person, that if I do enough of these good things, do enough of these right things, whether that's landing the job, marrying the dream girl, having the house with a white picket fence and 2.5 kids, if I can do those things, I can establish my identity and my worth, and I can be justified and made right, okay? That's the unrighteous view of justification. But his solution to his sinful shortcomings comes with a penalty, okay? So for the unrighteous person and their wrong-headed view of justification, what they get is constant longing and constant sadness, constant approval searching, and no chance of rest, okay? The unrighteous person is tired and burdened because they're not finding justification where they're searching for it. The unrighteous person is on a treadmill of misery that never stops. No one ever unplugs it. They never fall off. They just stay on it. And they will never be justified by the works of their own law that they've created. And they'll never definitely be justified by God's law that is condemning them. Okay, J.C. Ryle said, "Peace built upon any such foundations as these is utterly worthless. The man who rests upon them is miserably deceived." Or Paul just says, verse 16, "Yet we know a person is not justified by works of the law." Unrighteous person, this won't work. And so unrighteous person, that's you this morning, like you're trying to find justification and worth and identity and all those things. There's good news at the end, okay? You can get off of this treadmill if you trust in Christ alone for your justification. So if you're unrighteous this morning, I have good news for you. Wonderful news. So then there's the second group, and this hits a little closer to home, would be the self-righteous. Okay? Self-righteous people try and solve their guilt and their need to be justified with religious activity, okay? Because they believe that justification, right standing before God, they believe that they've been told their entire lives it doesn't come through the law, they believe it comes through the law. And it's not God's actual law that they're looking for justification in, okay? So the self-righteous person, I doubt, I haven't met this person, they're not combing through Leviticus trying to keep the law, okay? If you know those people, like, introduce me. I want to meet them and just see what's going on in there, okay? They're not doing that. Instead, they're trying to keep American Christianity's law. They're trying to go to church and do good deeds, and serve the community, and give to charity, thinking, okay, there's a bend in the self-righteous person to, just put simply, there's a bend in the self-righteous person to just be self-righteous, okay? To do enough Jesus things to justify themselves. So they're saying, but not saying, they wouldn't ever actually say this because they are so self-righteous, I don't need Jesus for my justification because I haven't missed Sunday in 50 years. I don't need Jesus for my justification because I read my Bible every morning. I went on a mission trip, and mostly I don't need Jesus for my justification because I'm better than the guy in the pew over there or the chair over there, okay? Their justification is before other people and not before God. But Paul still writes, verse 16, "Yet we know a person is not justified by works of the law." And then the self-righteous person, they'll even use their ancestry to as a case for their justification. To say this is what makes, right, verse 15, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners." Okay, so in Galatians, and we went through this, what, 2 years ago, went through Galatians, they're saying, we're Jews, okay, Paul? We eat kosher. We're circumcised. We keep the law. We're good. Okay, our justification is by works of the law. And Paul can't be any more clear. And says, verse 16, "Yet we know person is not justified by works of the law." So let's move out of Galatia into 2019. What's the self-righteous person saying today? I'm a Christian. I attend church. I got YouVersion. There's a verse of the day. Done. I've got it. The self-righteous person is the older brother in Luke 15. If you know this story of the prodigal father who gives and gives and spends on his children, and they both reject him, the older brother throws up into his father's face all how good he is, all of his good works. Luke 15, 29, he says, "These many years I've served you. I never disobeyed your command. I kept the law, Dad. Look how hard I've worked for you. Look how much I've labored. When the servants were done for the night, I stayed late. When they came in late, I was here early. My nose, Dad, if you notice, my nose has been to the obedience grindstone since I could walk. I'm good." And yet Paul still says, "Yet we know a person is not justified by works of the law." Okay? So what Paul, if he were here today, would say, who cares if your daddy was a deacon? Who cares if your mom gave birth to you teaching Sunday school, right? That's where you came out. Who cares if you've been reading your Bible regularly? Who cares if you've never been drunk? Who cares if you were a virgin when you got married? Who cares if you only watch PG movies and just not those evil Disney ones? Who cares? Paul's saying that doesn't matter. To the self-righteous person, Paul is still saying, we know a person is not justified by works of the law. Back to the unrighteous person, Paul is saying, who cares if you have no idea who your daddy is? Who cares if your mom gave birth to you at Bird Legs at 3 in the morning and you tasted Jack Daniels before your mother's milk? Who cares if you've slept with anyone that would give you the time of day? Paul still says the same thing to the unrighteous and to the self-righteous. Paul says, we know a person is not justified by works of the law. So what's happening here is we are all up a creek without a... Even if we had a paddle, no matter how hard we paddled, we're not going anywhere. Our unrighteous sin and our self-righteous sin both make us guilty before God. According to our works, if we haven't been clear yet, according to our works, we cannot be justified. We cannot. The currency, then, that the unrighteous and the self-righteous are dealing in is what Paul calls, if you go back to Galatians 1, he calls this man's gospel. Okay, man's gospel is an addition, any addition to the gospel that Paul received from Jesus himself. So the gospel that Paul received and the gospel that Paul delivered and the gospel that we want to contend for now for us and for our children is Jesus plus nothing. That's what Paul brings. And so what happened in Galatia is false teachers came in and they turned it into Jesus plus something. Okay. Jesus is good, but you need to add circumcision. Jesus is good, but you have to eat kosher. Jesus is good, you have to keep the law. And now since we, okay, especially Christian Life Church in Tonkawa in 2019, since we are much more enlightened and we are much wiser and certainly more spiritual and holy than the Galatian church, we would never fall for believing man's gospel when we know the real thing. We would never for a moment rely on our own works instead of Christ to save us. We would never, because we are so much more spiritual and holy than the church in Galatia, we would never think, much less say silly things like, yes, Christ loves me and gave himself for me as long as I behave and as long as I read my Bible and as long as I pray and as long as I do the right thing. We'd never say that. And we would never think Christ's work was enough to get me started, but it's my effort that will finish it. We'd never do that, would we? If you didn't catch the joke, we would definitely. We would definitely think those things. We would absolutely think those things. You are going to be bent and tempted to believe those things the minute you walk out the door today. Christ did a good thing, but I've got to finish it. That is man's gospel. And Paul says, no! Don't believe that, Paul. And so in verse 9, and the reason we want to believe that is because God's gospel, the true gospel, the pure gospel that God gives in himself, it's almost too good to be true. It's too unbelievable. We can believe this effort thing. We can believe this work thing, but that Christ has done everything. That's just, there's no way that can be true. Verse 9 there, Paul says, we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. So Paul's use of the word accursed there is to be condemned to hell. Okay? Anathema. Those who preach a false gospel of Jesus plus something, Paul says they are cursed. They are condemned to hell. But so are those who would believe a false gospel. So are those who would believe Jesus plus something. Why? Well, what does the false gospel say? It says, basically, that Jesus is not enough. Jesus is not enough, and I need to add something to Christ's work. And so if that's what we are led to believe, and our view of Christ is primarily an example to be followed in order to help us please God, and not primarily as a Savior who pleased God on our behalf, if that's what we believe, Paul says we are cursed. Real serious language here. He's not playing in Galatia. So if you'd go outside on the street, ask any Joe Blow what it means to be a Christian, I would guess 9 out of 10, unless they met someone from our church, 9 out of 10 would say, what does it mean to be a Christian? They would say, well, it means going to church. And it means reading the Bible, or it means praying, or it means forgiving, or it mostly means doing what is right. And what they really mean, what's coming out in that is, sorry, Stoney, I use statistics. We just found out statistics aren't always right, okay? So ask more than 10. What these people really mean is being a Christian means following the rules. Being a Christian means external moral action. But verse 16 is still in our Bibles, and it still says, we know a person is not justified by works of the law. So if we choose to live for our justification through self-righteousness, if we believe that we can earn some merit on judgment day through our godly deeds, the warning of Paul when we get to verse 21 there in Galatians is that we have nullified, we have made void the grace of God, which is a terrifying thing to even think about. Like, God's grace, we can nullify? That seems to be what Paul is saying, because we said, Jesus, thanks for your help, but I've got it. Thanks for the cross, I can take it from here. If you choose this, if you are believing this now, if this is how you are living now, as lovingly and as I can tell you, like as just, if that's what you're choosing, you are a fool, and judgment and hell is coming your way if you are choosing to be justified through your own works, choosing to be justified through your merit. J. Gresham Machum was a professor in the 20s that was really influential in keeping Presbyterianism from falling completely into liberalism. He left and had to start his own seminary because it got so bad. He said, Christ will do everything or nothing. Either earn your salvation if your obedience to the law is perfect, or trust entirely in Christ's completed work. But you cannot do both. You cannot combine merit and grace. If justification, even in the slightest measure, is through human merit, then Christ died in vain. So the unrighteous person and the self-righteous are both looking in different ways to be justified through merit, okay? Now the Christian has a better way. Or more importantly, the Christian has the only way. The only way we can be justified. 6 years later, after Paul's letter to the Galatians, he writes another letter to the Romans. Maybe you've heard of it. And in 321, we get to what Luther called the chief article of Christian doctrine, what Calvin called the main hinge on which religion turns, what Wesley called the whole compass of Christianity, and what Packer called the storm center of Reformation, what we're calling awesome. We get to this in Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So there's the first clue. We've all got a justification problem. We've all got a sin problem. We've all got a guilt problem. Here's the first clue to our solution. And it's really clear. It can't be works. It can't be something that people can do. No amount of money they can pay. No, you know, how many chapters they can read. The clue, it's faith. Okay? And it's faith in who? Jesus Christ. You can expound on what that means here in a second. For there is no distinction. Verse 23, all have sinned. So Jew, Gentile, unrighteous, self-righteous, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, okay, so are declared righteous, even though our works are not declared righteous. How? By his grace as a gift. Yes. Now, does a gift require merit? Can it be a gift if it requires merit? Does a gift require work? No, then it's a paycheck, okay? If you go to work, you should get paid, okay? A gift is getting something you don't deserve. You didn't earn. You couldn't earn. So how does this gift come? Keep reading in 24. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward, that's really important, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be earned or worked for, or what does he say? Whom God put forward to be
received by faith.
Total opposite of earning or working by faith. This was to show God's righteousness. So it's not God sliding things under the table and pretending they didn't happen. We'll get to that in a second. Because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and justifier of the one who worked for Jesus. No. Of the one who what? Has faith in Jesus. Okay? So Paul's saying here that righteousness, justification, right standing before God comes not through works, but by faith in Christ and in His work. Okay? If the cross isn't true, if the resurrection isn't true, we are all, we're not in a good place. We are not in a good place. So the problem for all of us is that we need to be justified, and the problem for all of us is that there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing we in our own strength can do. We've sinned, and so when it's time to pay the fine, we won't have enough money, okay? And no one else has enough money either. Our only hope then is for someone else, okay? Someone outside of us, someone alien to us to rectify our situation. That's the only hope the human has, unrighteous or self-righteous. Now, other religions handle this differently, okay? If they need to be made right before their God. So if they sin against their God, they do something, okay, to appease the angry, wrathful God. So have you seen Joe versus the Volcano? I'll watch anything with Tom Hanks, pretty much. Looking back, Joe versus the Volcano is a terrible movie. I mean, I love Tom, but so what? They have an angry God, and they have to do something. They have to work and sacrifice and appease this God, okay? So the thought is that we have to offer sacrifice to this God to pay this debt, to make our wrong right, okay? And you've maybe heard the Christian gospel explained that way, okay? No one bad intentions doing that. It's just how it comes out. That's not what's happening here, okay? The sinful people aren't offering the sacrifice to the angry God. Now, blood is going to be shed, but not the blood of the guilty, the blood of the innocent, okay? So look what's happening here. Verse 25, Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as propitiation. Okay? So is Jesus God? Okay, we're going to do this tonight at 6:30, the person of Christ, okay, whom God put forward as propitiation. So the deity is being appeased, but not by the offender, which is different from every other religion on planet Earth. The deity is being appeased not by the offender, but by the offended, God Himself. Okay, we've been singing this song on Sunday that I will wait for you, I will wait for you. Okay, he says God Himself has paid the price. Like God pays the debt. God's doing the dirty work here, okay? And He's not just forgiving, okay? That's great, forgiveness is great, but God does more than that. He's fixing the problem, okay? So I can forgive you for denting my truck. I wouldn't know, honestly, if you did dent it. I can forgive you for denting my truck, but until it's paid for, I still have a dent, okay? There's still a problem. And so by sending the Son, by God giving of Himself, the Father both forgives and pays. The Father both forgives and rectifies the situation. Every other religion in the world, Jared Wilson writes, has man in the gutter trying to figure out how to get to heaven. Only Christianity has heaven coming down to the gutter. God giving of Himself. God who is without sin. And so how does this become true for us? Okay? Because this is great to talk about, like a theory, like, oh, it's an out there thing. How does this become true for us? How can we be sure that Christ died for our sins? How can we be sure that this work for our justification by propitiation, how can we be sure that works for us? Okay? How can we be sure that's true for us? Do we think it's by works or by faith? Let's read this again and you tell me, okay? You're smart people. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by this was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He has passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Simple, childlike faith. Okay? You do not need a PhD to be justified. Okay? You don't. You need to believe, verse 24, that you are only justified. You are only declared righteous because of God's grace as a gift. If that's not true, we're sunk. You need to believe that God's love towards you has nothing to do with how sinful you are or how sinful you are not. Okay? It has everything to do with how gracious God is. Okay? That's why we started this Born Again series with 3 weeks just on God. Just on the blessed, happy land of the Trinity, giving, blessed God. That's what this all has to do with. Like, you're almost inconsequential to it. God's love is not predicated on how sinful you are or how sinful you are not. God's love is predicated on His own graciousness, His own self-giving, okay? You are... I hate to burst your bubble this morning. You are more sinful than you think. You're more sinful than you realize. Okay? But in the gospel, you are also more loved than you know. Okay? When those two things become really clear, the gospel gets really beautiful and it's all you think about. It's all you want. And when that comes to individual members, then it comes to the church. Guys, there is a gospel culture in the church that when outsiders come in, they're like, these people are really free. No one's trying to earn anything here. No one's trying to one-up one another here. They're just free. They're just living like justified people. So you have to then live your Christian life from this justified state, okay? From this position. This happens at the moment you believe, you are justified, okay? So you don't believe, and then there's like a week later, and then God declares you righteous. No, the moment you believe... And for those of you that got saved later in life, like it's a little different with someone like George in my testimony. Like, we kind of grew up being Christian. Okay, so let's just say you got saved at 45, down at the bar, drunk as could be, trying to bring a girl home that night. Someone sat next to you, preached the gospel. You believed it. You're still incredibly drunk. Okay, you probably still have those plans to take her home, but the moment you believed, you're justified. The drunk guy sitting there, about wasted, who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, from that moment is declared righteous. Absolutely, totally, completely. So you are, yeah, that should bug you. That should bug you a lot. Because we would look at that guy and say, no way, and God says, well, here's what I did. So you have to live from this state. It happens at the front end, right at the start. The moment you believe, you are justified freely forever, okay? So what's happening here is called imputation, okay? Which means that at the cross, God takes all of your sin, okay? Past, present, future sin, and places it on, imputes it to the sinless Son of God, okay? Takes all of your sin, places it onto Jesus. Isaiah 53 says, the Lord has what? Laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Like, placed it on Him at the cross. But it doesn't stop there. That's great news, okay? If Jesus just takes our sin, that is wonderful news. But imputation is not just about God placing our sin onto Christ. It's also about God placing Christ's righteousness onto us. Happy, happy people believe that, okay? 1 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, He made Him who knew no sin, okay? Jesus, sinless Son of God, we'll go through this tonight, so that in Him, we might become the righteousness of God. Is that guy, totally blacked out at the bar, righteous at that moment? No, but in Christ, we become the righteousness of God, okay? And we're going to get into sanctification in a couple weeks, okay? And being holy and actually living holy. But at justification, guys, the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. For our sake, He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. So here's what's amazing, okay? I've spent the whole time, Paul's been saying, you're not saved by works, you're not saved by works, you're not saved by works, you're not justified by works. Well, here's the deal. You actually are justified by works, just not your works, right? You are actually justified. You are actually saved by works that are not yours. At the cross, Romans 3:21 is happening. The righteousness of God The justice of God, the perfection of God is being manifested apart from the law. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus for all who believe. So you are saved by works, and you are saved by the law through Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus did the works. His sinless life is then reckoned, given, placed on you, counted to you. The very righteousness of God. So it's not just that when God declares us righteous, that he's being deceptive, okay? He's not a judge up there who's like just going to slide it away because you slipped him a five. He's actually taking care of it, okay? Not going, everyone knows you're guilty, but I'm nice and I'm going to let it slide. That's not what's happening. By faith in Christ's work, we are really, actually sharing in the righteousness of Christ, okay? So we're not declared justified as just like a formality that God's, no, it's real. It's true. I am justified by faith in the work of Christ and nothing else. Nothing else. Guys, this is so, Joe's going to do assurance here at the end of this series. It's so important. This truth of justification matters for your assurance, okay? Because if you wake up every single morning and think, I've got to justify myself by not sinning today, sorry, man. It's not going to work. But if you wake up every morning knowing that Christ has given me, not only taken my sin, but also given me his righteousness, guys, you live from a free place to love God and love one another. Otherwise, you're miserable and you're tired and you're scared of the God who loves you. Okay. So by faith in Christ's work at the cross, we are declared righteous apart from our works and according to his works. Okay. And it's almost too good to be true. That's why we want to believe man's gospel, because that computes a little more. So Luther again, when the devil throws up our sins to us, which he will do, like the minute you get out of the store, the minute you wake up in the morning, all right, the devil's there trying to convince you this isn't true. He says, when the devil throws up our sins to us and declares we deserve death and hell, we ought to speak thus. Devil, I admit I deserve death and hell. What of it? Does this mean that I shall be sentenced to eternal damnation? By no means. For I know the one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Where he is, I shall be also. Luther is, I think, mentally ill by the end of his life. He's got so much good gospel truth here. Where he is, I shall be also, devil. What of it? Outside of Christ's work on my behalf, yes, I do deserve death. But inside of Christ's work on my behalf, just by simple faith, simple belief, I am freely forever, apart from any work of my own, justified. This is what this doctrine lit the world on fire 500 years ago. Do you see why? People start to believe this. They start to do crazy things. So I just want to see if you really get this, okay? I don't do this a lot, if ever. Can you guys just close your eyes and keep them closed? I want to see if you understand this. So you have believed in Jesus. You've repented of your sin towards him. So you are justified, but you're just kind of learning about it this morning. I want to see if you really get it. What are you going to do on the last day when Jesus appears as judge? And you think about how many times you gloried in or boasted in your paycheck. How many times have you felt superior for your appearance? How many times have you neglected widows and orphans, ignored the poor in the street? How many times have you chosen cowardice instead of courage? How many times have you avoided evangelism or disciple making? How many times have you phoned it in with the kids? How many times has your mind wandered while your wife poured out her heart? How many times have you sacrificed your family for work? How many times have you held bitterness in your heart towards some, especially someone in the household of faith? How many times have you blown somebody off? How many times have you resented the opinions of others even when they were right? How many times have you envied your neighbor, his better behaved children and more put together wife? How many times have you wasted your mornings, afternoons, and evenings endlessly scrolling through different social media instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing? How many times have you peeked at pornography or lusted at someone who's not your wife? How many times have you failed to confess your sin? How many times have you given in to laziness, sloth, greed, or pride? You and I both know that you have transgressed over and over again. And you're going to stand before a holy God to be judged according to these very questions, and he will ask you to give an account. So, Christian, as you look back on the failures of your life, the sin of your life, and you turn to the Father to receive your sentence, what do you think he's going to say to you? You guys, open your eyes. Justified. That's what I'll say. That's the good news. So if you are a Christian, this is true of you. On that last day, this is true of you. Not for anything you did. On your best day, with your best works, with your what, it's not going to add up at the end. So if you're a Christian, this is true of you. If you're not a Christian, get off that treadmill. Get off that hamster wheel. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. This is awesome. Let's pray. Father, we love you. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment. His life was the cost. God, would you drive this truth deep into our bones? God, seal this on our arm. God, I pray for our church that we would live as justified people. Free. Free from the law's demands. Free from trying to make it on our own or earn it on our own. Holy Spirit, would you do a work that only you can do today? In the name of Jesus, everyone said. Amen. Amen. If you are not a Christian, okay? If what I said sounds good, it does sound good. What I said sounds good, but you're not there yet. I'll be around after service. I would love to talk to you about this. Love to talk to you about Jesus and his cross and his resurrection and his soon return and what that means for you. Love to do that after service today. So if you're not a Christian, stick around. If you are a Christian today, just float out the door. Okay? Just float out in the good news of justification by faith. Okay? Now, as wonderful as this is, guys, next week's even better, okay? Because we're going to get into adoption and being God's kids, which is, yeah, there's a reason they call it good news, okay? I'll stop. Joe, lead us at the table, please.